Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good to see each and every one of you. As you can probably tell from the auditorium and what's going on backstage, they're getting ready for a production here. And so normally I'm about 12 feet closer to you. I feel just so detached, but I have faith, but I don't think I have faith that much to walk into that abyss there. But so glad to have each and every one of you with us. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church. And man, I just so thankful to see each and every one of you. Glad that you are here today. One of the things we do almost every single week is we welcome those who will be listening later this week to our podcast online and later today. So let's give all those who will be listening later this week a big welcome. This morning, I wanted to point out in your service guide, all of you should have received a form that looks just like this. This is our soap form, and so you may, you know, I know we've got some people this is your first time here. You're like, what in the world is soap? Soap is our Bible reading and journaling kind of discipline activity that we try to do together as a church. And so we just encourage you if you want to know more about that. But essentially, all you have to do is read one chapter a day, and then you're just going to pray, God, what scripture stands out to me? God, what are you trying to show me? You're going to write that down in a journal. And then application, Lord, how does this apply to my life? And then a prayer. And so we've made this so easy. It's here for you. It's online. It's available online for you on our church app. You can find the soap listing there. And we even have journals out at Information Central for you. And so we just encourage you. This is one of the most life-changing things, I promise. If you'll discipline yourself to do this, takes less than 15 minutes a day. It's one of the most life-changing things in your spiritual journey that you can ever do. So I encourage you to jump on board. I know a lot of us started with some New Year's resolutions, and we had great intentions of being more faithful in our personal disciplines. And so it's not too late. It's not too late. We're getting ready to start another month. And so let's start fresh and just encourage you to do that with us. All right. Well, several weeks ago, I was waiting at a red light. And for some reason, the person in the vehicle in front of me did not push their accelerator when the light turned green. Yeah, you guys know my pain already, right? I haven't even told more of the story than that. Now I had already wasted 48.9 seconds of my life waiting at that particular red light. And I don't want to lie in church. I was not very happy about the delay. And if I'm being perfectly honest, I wanted to just lay on the horn, right? But at the same time, I was facing this dilemma because I'm a pastor. And what if the person in front of me turned out to be someone who attends this church? What if the person in front of me maybe showed up for the very first time at our service next week? I was kind of stuck in this. So what in the world was I supposed to do? And almost instantly I came up with this brilliant idea. I thought, I'll just give them a polite beep with my horn. Come on, any polite beepers in the house? Come on, let me see your hands. Yeah, well, we got some polite beepers here, right? Even though I wanted to lay on my horn, I gave them a quick play, kind of like, beep, you know, just as quick as you can push it. And so as a pastor, this entire series Why that we've walked through has been my way of giving you, those of you that consider the Lifeway Church your church home, a polite just beep, beep. I love you, but come on, it's time to get moving. Because this is what I know. I know that God is calling us. He's calling us as individuals. He's calling us as a church to move forward and to take more territory. There are people all around us who are hurting, and they're searching for answers that need to experience the love and hope that only Jesus Christ can bring. And I want you to hear me. God has incredible things in our future, but there's some of us in this room, and I love you with all my heart, but some of us need to just push the accelerator down a little bit. Somebody said, amen. He's preaching already. I'm not saying that you've stopped loving Jesus, But some of us have become a little complacent. We become a little lethargic. And as your pastor, my goal has been to kind of just pat you on the back and say, hey, baby, come on, it's time to move forward. It's time to go on. And so throughout this series, I've worked to answer the why behind the what we do as a church when we come together on Sundays. In week one, I taught about the why and how to respond corporately in praise and worship. And so thank you, those of you that are taking steps and moving a little bit outside of your comfort zone. I've noticed a big difference even in the last 2 weeks as we've just begin to worship and praise Him the way that He loves. And then last week I talked about why we serve and our role in the body of Christ. And so if you consider yourself to be a part of the Lifeway Church, and if you've missed either of those weeks, I really want you to go back and I want you to listen to those messages. They're available for free on our website, our church app. They're also on an iTunes podcast. But this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to wrap up this Why series, and I'm really going to kind of pick off right where I left off last week. And I'm going to be teaching about the importance of our presence. In other words, why does my presence matter in church? Well, why do we come on a Sunday morning and gather together? Is it tradition? Do we do it out of obligation? Is it because we have nothing better to do on a Sunday morning? Why? Come on, why don't you look to your neighbor next to you and say, your presence is important to me. Come on, turn to your second choice and tell your second choice, your presence is important to me. One Sunday morning, a man woke up to find his wife standing over him, shaking him violently by the shoulder. And she urged him, she said, baby, it's time to get up and get ready for church. He kind of mumbled and groaned and tried to turn over, but she just kept shaking him. And she said, it's time to get up. And he said, well, I'm still tired and it's cold outside. And really, honestly, I don't feel like going to church. And his wife gave him a stern look. How many of you husbands know that look you get from your wife, right? She gave him this stern look and said, you give me three good reasons why you shouldn't go to church this morning. Fine, he replied. He said, first of all, I don't get anything out of the service. Secondly, I don't like the people there. And thirdly, nobody there even likes me. He then asked his wife, why don't you give me three good reasons why I should even bother going? And she quickly responded, first, it will do you some good. Second, I know for certain that there are people there who really do like you. And third, you have to go. You're the pastor. Now get up and get dressed. And while we laugh, many Christians today don't understand the importance of their presence at the weekly gathering. And this really isn't a new problem. In fact, since the early church was born, the apostles were challenging a complacent mindset that had this tendency to sweep across the body of Christ. And so that's why the apostle Paul wrote in Hebrews 10:25, he says, let us not neglect our meeting together. Everybody say together. As some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And so my goal this morning is to encourage every single one of you to make the most out of every opportunity that we have to gather together with our church family. Because Paul is telling us, listen, I know that there are some people who are abandoning the way. I know there are some people who aren't showing up. But listen, don't stop. You just keep going. Don't desert the church community. Because here's what's important for us to understand this morning is not only does our presence provide for our own spiritual nourishment, but when we miss it, it affects the nourishment that other people need when they walk into these doors. And so because as we discussed last week, we are the body of Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am the body of Christ. I am the body of Christ. God has put each of us in this church body, watch this, to use our gifts to serve others. And when our presence is missing from the body cannot and does not operate as effectively and as efficiently as it should. I asked Costanzo to come up here to help me. I think he's waiting in the wings. Come on, run up here, Costanzo. And so I've got this cup here, all right? And so what I want you to do is I'm gonna pour some water. This is a fresh bottle. Don't be worried here, all right? Opening it here just broke the seal. Pour a little bit of water here. All right, that's probably good there. And so what I want you to do is I want you to grab the cup, and I want you to drink it, all right? But before you do, I need you to take your glasses off. All right, you're going to put this blindfold on. All right. Go ahead, put your arms behind your back. You can't use your arms. And go ahead and kneel down because I don't want you to fall off the stage, all right? All right, so here we go. Just now, you just go ahead and have a drink of water, all right? So you just, you go for it right there, all right? We're just going to, yeah, go ahead. You're not going to fall off the stage. All right, here, all right, yeah. Go ahead and you find that, all right? All right. This is a great visual of what happens in our church when you aren't here. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:12, the human body, he's doing it right. Yeah, the human body has many parts, but yeah, go ahead, drink it all. Yeah, drink it all. Yeah, you're thirsty. But the many parts, he just broke his tooth, right? But the many parts make up one whole body, so it is with the body of Christ. And so if the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. Man, you keep going. You're doing a great job, man. Verse 16, and if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? Yeah, he got that done. You did such a great job. Now, yeah, keep your hands behind your back. Now I want you to pick up this piece of paper for me, all right? All right, and so if the ear says I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body was an ear, how would you? Yeah, man, he's got skills, right? But our bodies have many different parts. Just wait here for a moment. Our bodies have many different parts, but God has put everybody, say, each part just where he wants it. Listen, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And so what is Paul telling us? He's telling us, yes, somebody can step in and they can attempt to play your part. I can pick something up with my mouth, but that's not the job of the mouth. Go ahead and stand up, Cassandio, and take the blindfold off. Give him a great hand this morning. Look at how easy, though, if I were to pour this before you walk away, right? If I'm going to pour him another drink and say, hey, would you go ahead and just have a drink? Look how simple it is, right? When we use the right body part, this is the way that God has designed it. Listen, the whole body working together. Thank you, Costanzo. The eyes, right? Give him a hand. The eyes coordinate with the brain to signal the proper body part to begin the process. The shoulder muscles activate, thus moving the upper arm. And then the arm communicates with the elbow to rotate. And the muscles and the tendons start activating, moving the hands. And the hands activate the fingers. And the touch receptors on the fingers communicate back to the brain to pick this up and simply take a drink. And I want you to understand that in the same way, your presence matters to the body of Christ. It matters on Sunday because Scripture tells us every single part plays an important role. And without your part being present, we look a lot like Costanzo with the blindfold on and the hands behind his back. Not very effective, not very comfortable. It's awkward. Body parts trying to do things that they were never designed to do. And so I want to break it down and be super real and plain with you this morning. If we are going to be spiritually healthy as a church, if you're going to be spiritually healthy as individuals, gathering together to worship corporately must be a priority in our lives. Because let me be real with you. Here's what I've learned over the course of my life. There will always, always, always be some reason not to attend church. A late Saturday night out, a Packer game, golfing, yard work, a party, an activity, our pets, a sport? Have I offended anybody yet? I'm trying to get everybody in the room so you all can be equally mad at me when you leave today, right? It can be too sunny, too rainy, too windy, too snowy, too cold, too nice out, right? Listen, the enemy will always provide for us a distraction. We have a choice. And so I want to challenge you as your pastor this morning. I want to tell you, hey, beep, beep. Come on, let's start moving. Let's make sure that we have our priorities in the right place, because your gifts are important to the body. Your presence is important not only to you, but to those of us that come into this room counting and depending on you. Now there are some that they'll argue against the importance of their presence in church. And they kind of have grabbed hold of this statement that's sort of been shared around Christendom, around the church world. And the statement, there's different variations of it, but it basically goes something like this. How many of you have heard this? You don't go to church, you are the church, right? How many of you have heard something kind of along those? No one's heard that? Wow. Well, yeah, right. Yeah, a lot of us, right? So you don't go to church, you are the church. And at a cursory glance, this may seem to be like a good and a truthful statement. But listen, pitting being the church and going to church against each other is really, it's impossible, because we cannot fully be the church if we're not attending the church, right? There isn't a single place that you'll find in this book, in Scripture, where the church refers to an individual, a Lone Ranger Christian who just goes about their journey on their own. Listen, I cannot be the body of Christ. I cannot be the church on my own. I need you. I need others to come around you so that we, around me, so that we can be the church. And so I want to give you some reasons why my presence at church gatherings matter. Some reasons why my presence at church gatherings matter. Here's the first one. Number one, gathering with other believers helps you focus on God. It helps you focus on God. In our lives, we have a tendency to be so consumed by our own situations, right? By our own trials. Anybody here ever get consumed by your own trials? The things, the difficulties, the challenges that you're facing in your life, right? And what happens is when we get consumed by those things, we often forget to focus on God and His goodness. Like we just sang about a few minutes ago, we think of our problems, and our problems get so big that we forget that God is a waymaker. And our problems are so difficult, we forget that He's a miracle worker and that He's a healer and that He can do anything. And so we tend to lose sight of that as we walk through our difficulties. In Matthew chapter 14, there's a story of the disciples. I don't have time to tell everything, but they're basically out in a boat in the middle of the night, in the middle of the sea. And so during the night, Jesus appears out of nowhere and He's walking on the water towards the disciples in this boat. And Peter, as soon as he recognizes that it's Jesus, he cries out to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, if that's you, would you just bid me to come?" And so Jesus said, "Come on, the water's great." And so Peter, you have to understand, Peter was a commercial fisherman. He understood what it meant to jump out of the boat, right? And so Peter, full of faith, he steps out of the boat and he begins walking on the water just like Jesus was doing. It was a bona fide miracle. But then what happens is Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus. He changed his focus to the waves that were crashing all around him. And when he fixated his gaze on his problems, immediately Scripture tells us that he began to sink. Listen, when we focus on ourselves instead of God, our problems have a way of pulling us down. And so our presence in church, hearing the word of God preached, singing songs, praising and praying together in a faith-filled environment, it gives us this amazing opportunity to do a reset in our lives and refocus on Him. It allows us to set aside the craziness of our lives and say, "Listen, God, I dedicate the first parts of my week. God, I give you the first to make sure that I am in alignment with you, because I don't know about you. There are some things that happen in my life that take me out of alignment with Him." And so gathering with other believers helps us to focus. Number two, here's the second reason. Number two, gathering with other believers helps you find encouragement. It helps you find encouragement. I want you to understand the church isn't a building. It's a tool, but the church is not brick walls. It's not signage. It's not sound systems. It's not projectors and instruments and lighting. The church is people. It's believers who gather together, and even in their imperfection, I want you to hear that. Because some people walk into a church and they think, well, man, we're the church. We should have it all. Listen, no. The church, even in its imperfection, God designed us to encourage one another. We help each other navigate life storms. We receive strength. We receive love. We receive support from each other. I love this verse. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 tells us this. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. And I get it. Listen, I understand. I've been in the church my entire life. When we step into each other's lives, it can get messy. How many of you know when we step into one another's lives, it has a tendency to get messy, right? Because we're imperfect. We're all human, right? And so, but when we gather together as a church, when we come together as a group of believers, it becomes a vehicle that we utilize to help and to pray for and to encourage each other to follow Christ and grow into maturity. One of the things that I frequently hear when I counsel with people, when I reach out to someone maybe who's missed several services or a lot of services, is they'll say things kind of like this. They'll say, well, I've got this big issue going on in my life. Then they'll say, like, my marriage is struggling, or I'm having a hard time with my kids. We're having difficulty making ends meet. You know, my extended family is causing me problems. I lost my job. I'm depressed. I'm lonely. I'm anxious. I'm sick. Almost anything that you can fill in the blank. And their response to that struggle is to isolate and to pull themselves away from God's house and his people. And I want you to understand this morning that isolation is one of the greatest tactics. It's one of the greatest tools that the enemy will use to destroy us when we come into following Jesus. Paul said in Galatians 6:2, he said, share each other's burdens, and in this way, watch this, obey the law of Christ. Listen, we cannot share burdens when we're hidden in isolation. When we decide to stay at home instead of connecting with other believers, we need each other. A couple of years ago, Shyla and I were attending a conference in Florida, and the closing service of the conference one evening was so incredible. And as they closed the service and the worship band played and sang all over the auditorium, from one end of the country to the other, even people from as far away as Canada, they were praying for one another, and it was so amazing. It was powerful. It was just this beautiful thing to experience. And Shyla and I, we just sat there. I didn't want to leave. And finally, after almost everyone had exited the auditorium, we said, well, I guess we should leave before they kick us out. And as we exited that room, a man walked up to us in the lobby and gave Shyla a prophetic word for her life. And there was this great move of healing and restoration all through that building. And what we were feeling in those moments was the encouragement of God's presence through his people. Through his people. And so gathering with other believers, it helps us focus on God. It helps us find the encouragement we need not to give up and to keep pressing forward. Here's the third one, number three. Our spiritual growth is dependent on our diet. Our growth is dependent on our diet. Some people say, well, Pastor Andrew, I don't understand. I've said yes to Jesus, but I'm still struggling. I've said yes to Jesus, but I've not found that peace in my life. My life is still a mess. Listen, if you find yourself in that place, if you find yourself in a season that you're asking that question, then I want you to ask yourself, what am I feeding? What am I feeding? Because what we feed grows. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 tells us, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature, watch this, they will harvest decay, they will harvest death from that sinful nature, watch this, but those who live to please the Spirit, Those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. The old adage says, you are what you eat. So let me ask you this morning, what are you eating spiritually? Because when we gather together on Sundays, when we come into this place, I want you to know that God has prepared a table full of good things for us to experience and to eat that will help us grow and will help us become more like Him. I want you to think about it in the physical realm. If we only ate physical food once or twice a month, long term, it might help some of us in the short term, but long term, 4 or 5 months down the road, right, we wouldn't be very strong. Our health would suffer. And I want you to understand that in much the same way, we cannot grow as God intended while neglecting the needs of our spiritual man. So listening to sermons that we can apply to our lives, singing and worshiping and praying together, it provides us with essential nutrients that we need to be strong followers of Jesus Christ. And so your presence in our corporate gatherings will help you focus on God. It will provide encouragement. It will help you grow spiritually. Here's the fourth one. Number four is our presence builds one another up. Our presence builds one another up. How many of you have ever seen geese fly in their trademark V formation? How many of you ever, you know, looked in the sky and kind of heard all this racket? You're like, what is that? And you've seen them. Scientists have discovered, they've done some research on this, and they've discovered that the reason that they do this is that as each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird immediately behind it. And so by flying in this formation, they are able to add a 71% increase in flying range than if each bird flew on its own. And in the same way, believers who share in a church community can get where they're going much quicker. They can get there easier because they are traveling on the power of one another. Another word for this is the word synergy. And the reason that you hear geese honking while in this formation is to encourage those who are up front leading the way, saying, hey, keep going, keep up your speed. And I want you to understand that the same thing happens when we gather together as a church. We're able to speak words of encouragement to those who are flying with us. We'll be able to say, hey, come on, I see you there, Cosenzio. I see you, Tiffany. I see you, Nicholas. You've got this. I see greatness in you. Don't give up. Keep fighting. Keep pushing. Listen, our presence builds one another up. You may say, well, I can't get up and preach like you do, Andrew. I've not been gifted with a prophetic anointing on my life to share a word with someone in this room. I can't get up and lead worship like Tiffany does. Listen, when you walk into this auditorium at 9:55 a.m. and you're ready to press into God and worship the moment service begins, don't underestimate the power and giftings that your presence brings into this room. Because Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, for where two or three gather together as my followers, in other words, they come together in agreement. They come together in one mind, in one accord. They come together in one purpose. Watch this. I am there among them. And so while it may seem as if you're invisible, while it may seem as if you may be unnecessary, listen, you are actually helping us create a faith-filled environment where God can move. Scientists have also discovered, as they've researched geese, that when a goose gets sick or is wounded by a shot and has to fall out of the formation, that two geese will follow them down to the ground in order to provide help and protection. And those two geese will stay with that one that's sick until they're either able to fly or until they die. But I want you to hear me this morning. If people knew that they would be loved and supported like that in the church, they would beat down these doors to get in and be a part of it. We need each other. The greatest football player in the NFL would lose every game on his own. A football player needs a team. A soldier needs a platoon. A sheep needs a flock. And a child needs a family. And listen, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, when it comes to our spiritual lives, that family is the church. And a Christian without a church family, I want you to hear me this morning. I'm not trying to be offensive, but a Christian without a church family is nothing more than a spiritual orphan. So many Christians are walking around today and they're sick and they're malnourished spiritually because they are not truly connected to their local church home. Because just like in the natural realm, home is where we are fed. Home is where we learn. Home is where we're corrected. Home is where we're brought up. Home is where we grow. And if it's where we go when we're sick, we go home and we get nursed back to health. Listen, we need each other. And when we are faithful to God's house, we are able to get all of those things that we need in our journey, but we're also able to encourage other believers. Watch what Paul said in Romans 15 verse 1. He says, we must not just please ourselves. Once again, all of these epistles that we're reading about, these weren't letters written to unchurched people. These were letters written to the church. We must not just please ourselves. Verse 2, we should help others do what is right. And watch this, build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. And so our presence builds others up. It encourages the body of Christ. It focuses us and it nourishes us. And while there are many more, we could probably do a whole series on this topic alone. Let me share one last reason with you this morning. Here's the fifth one, number 5. Because God wants to meet us here. God wants to meet us here. Back to the verse of scripture that I opened this message with. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I want you to understand that God loves the church so much. He loves it so much that he left it in our hands to carry on the work that he started, to spread the gospel in spite of our imperfection, in spite of the imperfection of the church. God's love for the church is so deep that he refers to the church as the bride of Christ. And if we are so important to him that God would give his life for us and then leave the future of the movement that he established in our hands, I believe that the proper response is to love the things that he loves, to value the things that he values. And this is what I want you to understand this morning. I want you to hear me. Probably won't hear this at many other churches. We're not the only church in town. There are many great churches that you can attend. And while I'd absolutely love and be honored to be your pastor, more important than that, it's essential that you find a house that you can connect to, that you'll go all in, that you'll gather weekly with other believers and you'll fulfill the commandments and fulfill the things that God has asked of us. So listen, I know there are different flavors. Shal and I went to Purple Door yesterday. They got like 25 flavors and I don't know if you've ever been there, but you're like, man, I'll try every one. And then you just walk out and, you know, don't buy anything. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do that. I thought about it sometimes, but many different flavors, many different kinds of churches. Listen, hear the heart of me. Find a church. We'd love for it to be this one, but if not, then find a church and go all in. Be the body of Christ because church attendance can become one of the greatest blessings in you and your family's life as God waits to meet you there. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 84:4, what joy for those who can live in your house. Think about that. The psalmist was saying, what joy it would be, God, if I could just be in your house forever, if I could just live there forever, always singing your praises. What joy it is. A story is told of a member of a church, not our church, but They had been previously been very faithful in attending services, and for some reason, just out of the blue, they just stopped attending. And after several weeks had passed, the pastor decided to visit this man, and it was a chilly evening, and so he knocks on the door, and the pastor found the man at home. He was sitting in his living room in front of a blazing fire. I'm guessing the reason for his pastor's visit, the man welcomed him in. He led him to a chair near the fireplace. The pastor made himself comfortable, but said nothing. And so in the grave silence, he contemplated the play of the flames as they danced around the burning logs. And after what seemed like an eternity had passed, the pastor got up from his chair. He walked over to the fire, took the fire tongs, and he carefully picked up a brightly burning ember, and he placed it to one side of the hearth all by itself. Without saying a word, he walked back to his chair, sat down. His host watched all of this in quiet fascination. And as the one lone ember's flame diminished, there was a momentary glow, and then its fire was no more. Soon it was cold and as dead as can be. Not a word had been spoken since the initial greeting. Just before the pastor was ready to leave, he picked up the cold, dead ember, and he placed it back in the middle of the fire, and almost immediately began to glow once more with light and the warmth of the burning coals around it. I want you to understand, we need each other. As the body of Christ, we need to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I want you to hear my heart this morning. The purpose of this message isn't to get down on anyone, but to simply give you a quick little beep and tell you, hey, your presence is so important. You may think that it doesn't matter, but I want you to hear from me. I need you. I'm counting on you to encourage me. I'm counting on you to challenge me. I'm counting on you to help me grow. I'm counting on you to help me grow more into the image of Jesus Christ. And I think that's why the psalmist David was able to say in Psalms 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, because he understood that it was in that house that his needs were going to be met. He would find safety. He would find security. He would find encouragement. He would find focus. He would find blessing. Every single thing you need, listen, can be found in the house of the Lord. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. There are some here that you've walked into this room today. You're like, well, you know, I don't go to church, but I don't even have a relationship with him. You're here and you've never said yes to Jesus. You've never given your life to him. Listen, I want you to understand that today is a great day to do that. In fact, right now is a great time to do that. Some of you, you're in this room and you've been walking with God. You've walked with God in the past, but for whatever reason, you've just sort of drifted and you've kind of gone your own direction in your own wake. Listen, I want to tell you, today is a great day. Right now is a great time to come back home. Don't be a spiritual orphan any longer. And so if there's anybody here that's ready to say yes to Jesus, no one looking around, I want to pray for you. So if you find yourself in that place, ready to say yes to Jesus, would you just raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. I see in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is the greatest decision you could ever make. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the power of your word. Lord God, and I thank you for every hand that's been raised. Lord God, and I pray right now, Lord Jesus, today we make that step towards you. Lord God, we bring our brokenness and our emptiness. And so, Lord, right now I just pray, Lord, that you would just receive us into your family. Lord, all we have to do is repent. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is believe that your blood was the sacrifice, that your blood paid the debt that we owed. And so, Lord, today I thank you for new life. Lord, I thank you for giving me a fresh start today. Wash me clean. Lord, I receive everything you did for me at Calvary today. By faith, I receive it. Lord Jesus, I pray over the members of this church. And Lord, I know this is more a family message, a pastoral message. But Lord God, I pray that you would convict those of us in this room who become complacent, like that ember that was put off by themselves and become cold and distant. Lord God, would you draw us close to you? Lord, that our fire might burn so brightly. And Lord God, that you would help us to understand and realize, Lord Jesus, that we need each other. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.